Well, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to share this morning. The title of this sharing is Lessons from Asaph. And I don't know if you remember who Asaph is, but there was a little pamphlet a long time ago called The Secret of Radiant Living that was written by Peter Wade. And I had remembered that and tried to find it initially, but it just led me to do some digging into who really was Asaph and what did he do. He lived during the time of David, and he was probably a very young man when he was first appointed by David to be chief of all the singers. And when David first brought the ark to Jerusalem, this is about the middle of his reign, when he was in Jerusalem, it mentions Asaph. So the first place we see Asaph is 1 Chronicles 16, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this whole morning here. And starting in verse 4, it says, David appointed the following Levites to lead the people in worship before the ark of the Lord, to invoke his blessings, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph, the leader of this group, sounded the cymbals. Oh, so now we found out that his favorite instrument was the cymbals. Second to him was Zechariah, followed by all those other guys right there. And they played the harps and lyres. The priests, Benaiah and Jehaziel, played the trumpets regularly before the Ark of God's Covenant. And on that day, David gave to Asaph and his fellow Levites this song of thanksgiving to the Lord. And then it has the whole psalm that David wrote for that day starts out with, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. It's a great psalm of encouragement to seek the Lord and to give thanks to him. So all during the time of David, Asaph was in charge of the music, and David would write psalms and then give them to Asaph, and he would put them to music or organize all of the people that played instruments and the singers. And Asaph actually also wrote his own psalms, and there are 12 psalms in the book of Psalms that are dedicated to him. In 2 Chronicles 29:30, you don't have to look there, but it calls Asaph a seer, which means that not only was he the director of the music, but he himself was a prophet, and he got visions from God. When someone is called a seer, it's a kind of prophet where they get visions. So God talked to him through visions. And he was also known for his reproof to Israel. This is an example of an early psalm that he wrote, is in Psalm 50. And you can turn there. It's verse 1. The Lord, the mighty one, is God, and he has spoken. He has summoned all humanity from where the sun rises to where it sets. From Mount Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines in glorious radiance. Our God approaches, and he is not silent. Isn't that a wonderful thing to remember? Fire devours everything in his way, and a great storm rages around him. Doesn't he sound really descriptive here? He's talking about Jerusalem, where he is the chief of all the singers. Verse 4 says, he calls on the heavens above and earth below to witness the judgment of his people. Bring my faithful people to me, those who make a covenant with me by giving sacrifices. Later in this psalm, you can see how he's sort of like Jeremiah. He's a warning prophet. The visions that he got were often where people needed to be reproved for something. And later in this psalm, he charges the people to repent, all you who forget me. So Asaph lived all through the time of David and then also during Solomon's reign. And he was an integral part of the dedication of the temple after it was built. When Solomon built the temple, they had this incredible celebration. And that's described in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 12 to 14. It describes this celebration here. And the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and all their sons and brothers, Asaph had four sons who also were involved with him in leading the Levites in serving God through the music. It says they were dressed in fine linen robes and stood on the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. There's the cymbals again. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. I don't know about you, but I've never heard 120 trumpets at the same time. Wow. It says there were 38,000 Levites gathered together and 4,000 singers at this time of the dedication of the temple. Verse 13. The trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." And at that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. That's called the Shekinah glory, when the cloud fills the temple. And the priests could not continue their service because of the cloud, for the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. Wow. That must have been just an amazing celebration with all those singers saying, "God is good, his faithful love endures forever." And then 120 trumpets and cymbals. You know how cymbals sound like? They make a big crash. So that was really a wonderful time where Asaph was the one who was in charge of all of this music and celebration. After this time, unfortunately, Solomon began to follow after other gods, and he was led astray by his many wives that he had that were from foreign countries. And the next psalms that are written by Asaph must have been written either after this time or even could be after Solomon's son Rehoboam took over and Israel was split from Judah. Because the Psalms 73 to 83 have some great lessons in them, but they are also a little bit sad. It's at the end of Asaph's life that these were written. So I want to talk about three lessons briefly. Lesson number one is from Psalm 73, and it's what to do when we see the wicked prosper. And the answer is we have to get God's perspective. So turn to Psalm 73. We're just going to read a few of the verses first. Verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong, when they don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for." So he's describing what he's seeing with the wickedness around him. Jump down to verse 12. "Look at these wicked people, enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain." some of these things could be describing the wickedness that we see in today's society. Verse 15. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. And then verse 17 is the key. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Asaph was asking this question about why do the wicked prosper? And he didn't learn the answer until he went into God's presence and really just questioned him, stayed in fellowship with him. And what he understood was that God's perspective is that there is going to be a day where all of the wicked, all of the evil, everything that Satan and all of his hordes have caused through all the years is going to be finished. And we're going to see that too. We're going to see Satan and all of his angels get thrown into the lake of fire. Oh, glorious day! But here, verse 21, go down there. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. And I think that this is something that's a big temptation today also, is to be bitter about the things that are going on around us, things we cannot control at this moment. But that's why I wanted to play all those songs about the hope, because one day all of it is going to stop and hallelujah, we're going to see the promised land. Verse 22, I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you, yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. So God not only showed him the destiny of the wicked, he showed him his destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. So that's the first lesson, is what to do when we see the wicked prosper is get God's perspective. When we go in his presence, he will show us. He'll strengthen us with the certainty of our hope, and he will guide us with his counsel. The second lesson is from Psalm 77 and 78. And this lesson is remember God's power. So a lot of these psalms that Asaph wrote from 73 to 83, they describe the evil that's going on and also Asaph's discouragement. But this is another answer to Asaph to not be discouraged. We're just going to read a little bit of Psalm 77 first. Verse 1. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. So he's describing that he just got really discouraged. And he was crying out for God to teach him and to tell him what he needed to learn. So go down to verse 11. In this psalm, this is what God showed him. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. That's the answer for when we get discouraged, is to remember God's power. Remember the deeds that he has done and continues to do in our lives. For God is faithful, and he will always continue to bear his arm for his people. Now go to Psalm 78, because it kind of continues. And this psalm is called a maskil, which means instruction, or to give instruction. So here's where you see that Asaph was the kind of prophet who was who would exhort people and reprove them for the things that they were doing. Let's go to verse 7 first. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. The warriors of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned their backs and fled on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his instructions. They forgot what he had done, the great wonders he had shown them, the miracles he did for their ancestors on the plain of Zoan in the land of Egypt. So even when Israel first went into the wilderness, they forgot right away what mighty power God has shown to get them to be able to leave Egypt and for the Pharaoh to let them go. And then in that psalm, he recounts at least five different miracles that God did for them in the wilderness. So now go down to verse 40. Oh, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved his heart in that dry wasteland. Again and again they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One of Israel. Verse 42 is the key here. They did not remember his power. They did not remember his power and how he rescued them from their enemies. So this is the lesson number two. Remember God's power and we will not be discouraged. Remember how God is faithful and has been faithful to us day after day after day. So won't he continue to be faithful? The third lesson I'm calling Praise, Listen, and Obey. And it's from Psalm 81. Psalm 81 is an exhortation to praise, but it's also an exhortation to listen and obey. God doesn't always only want our praise. He wants our obedience. He wants us to do and act on the things that he has given to us. And he's given to us so much in Christ Jesus that what he wants us to do is to live that out to the best of our ability each and every day. Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing praises to our God, our strength. Sing to the God of Jacob. Sing, beat the tambourine, play the sweet lyre and the harp. Blow the ram's horn at new moon and again at full moon to call a festival. So he's starting out here with praise. And that's always the greatest place to start, is to just praise God. Sing praises to our God, our strength. And now go down to verse 8. You can see how he's a warning prophet here too. Listen to me, O my people, while I give you stern warnings, O Israel. If you would only listen to me, you must never have a foreign god. You must not bow down before a false god. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. And then here's the key. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. In verse 13 also reiterates that. It's like, oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that Israel would follow me walking in my paths. So this idea of opening your mouth wide, it's a picture of how to listen. And I was reading a commentary about it and gave the example of a baby bird. You know, when a mother bird brings food, she doesn't have to ask the little ones to open their mouths wide. Her only difficulty is to fill the grate with which they are quite sure to present to her. The appetite and eagerness are never lacking. So picture a nest of little birds. They got their mouths open and they're crying out. They can't wait to receive the food that the mother bird is going to bring to them. So the commentary said three things here. If we want to have our mouths open wide like baby birds to listen to what God says, we open our mouths wide when we have a sense of need and when we are hungry. We open our mouths wide when we ask for large things, things that seem to be impossible. And we open our mouths wide when we understand the greatness of the God we pray to. We will open our mouths wide because we know that God will fill them when we turn to Him and listen. But then the follow-up to that is that we need to obey. And I thought of a great example in Colossians where it's talking about loving one another. And we can listen and obey these verses. So you can turn to Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And these are all exhortations of things that we should do. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And then lastly, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So we can learn the lessons that Asaph did. Lesson number one, get God's perspective. Lesson number two, remember God's power and His faithfulness. And lesson number three, praise, but then listen and obey. And then we can say what he did at the end of Psalm 73, can turn back there. When he went into the sanctuary and he realized the destiny of the wicked, he ends up praising with all of his heart in verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. And we can say that too. He is mine forever. We are going to be His children forever. Verse 27, those who desert Him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, King James says refuge, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. That's something that we can obey with all of our hearts, is tell about how good God is and how His faithfulness never fails. So that's what I wanted to share this morning. God bless you.
You want to close with prayer, please?
Sure. Father, thank you for your faithfulness, for how you teach us so many things from your word that are so pure, so beautiful, and help us and encourage us to continue to just rely upon you as our strength and to come to you with all the questions that we have, no matter what they are. Thank you for blessing each person who's listening to this sharing and been on the conference call today. Thank you for taking care of them, bearing your arm for your people, and for just continuing to teach us and to help us to grow and to be more like Jesus Christ every day. In the name of Him, His love, His care, everything, Father, in His name I pray. Amen.
Amen.